In the past year, that's the year of 2020, Kara set a personal goal to read 100 books over the course of the year. That's a lot of books. That's like a book every 3.65 days or something like that. And so, you know, that's pretty good. And I'll be honest, we were squeezing them in by the end of the year. I was like, can this book you read to Felix count? And but she's like, I'm trying to do this. And she did it. And I was so proud of her, and I was excited for her that she'd set that goal and she'd met it. And you know, it was great. Although I do have to admit to you that there was some division in our household along the way. Now you might wonder, well, how could you be divided over her reading 100 books? Well, I'll tell you. It would go something like this. Kara would say, hey, I just finished reading my 27th book. And then I would tease her and say, read or listened to the audiobook? Because if you listen to an audiobook, that doesn't really count as reading the book. And we were divided on that issue. And I suspect that if I were to take a poll here this morning, I'm not going to, that Grace Bible Church, you too would be divided on that issue. Some would say, well, no, you got to read it to read it. And others would say, no way, listening to the audiobook totally counts as reading the book. And I'm sure I could come up with lots of items like that we would be divided over. If I said, should there be pineapple on pizza? Some of you would say yes. Some of you would say no. If I were to ask you, what's the best place in Washington to get groceries? Some of you would say Aldi. Some of you would say Lindy's. Some would say Kroger. Some would say Walmart. And there's probably like one guy that would be like, Menards. You know, and if I were to ask, you know, what's the best baseball team? I'm sure we'd be split right down the middle between Cubs fans and Cardinals fans. And I can bring those things up and we can kind of joke about them just because, yeah, we're divided on them, but they're kind of just like fun little silly divisions that we all get along over and joke back and forth. But over the past year, there have been bigger, more serious issues that have arisen that most certainly divide our culture as well. Issues much deeper than what's your favorite baseball team. Issues about how much control we believe a state government should have in terms of where and how people go and do things. Issues like the 2020 presidential election. And who people think won or should have won, Democrats, Republicans, that's been a huge divide in our country. Divisions over masks and, you know, whether non-vaccinated people should wear masks or not and what that should look like. And, I mean, you can push one step further and you can talk about vaccination and whether people should be vaccinated or not. I mean, these are issues that are there. Let's not act like those aren't there in our culture. Let's not act like we haven't felt them or that everybody in our church family is going to feel the exact same way about those divisive issues. In fact, because those issues are so real and because people feel so strongly about those issues, any pastor who has any tiny semblance of common sense is not going to talk about those issues on a Sunday morning and just naturally divide the church. You're not going to touch those puppies with a 10-foot pole. But you see, there's a problem with preaching through the Bible chapter by chapter, verse by verse. Because when you come to those sections that directly address divisions in the church, you can't exactly skip over it just because you're living in a time where there have been lots of divisions in our culture, in our state, and even potentially within our church family. And I wish I had a 10-foot pole, but I don't. What I've got is 1 Corinthians 1:10. So would you turn with me to 1 Corinthians 1:10? 10 as we seek to gain a godly perspective on those matters that can potentially divide the church. We're going to be in 1 Corinthians 1, 10 to 17 this morning. And as always, we are going to begin with the word of the Lord. Paul writes this. He says, "I appeal to you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another, so that there may be no divisions among you, and that you may be perfectly united in mind and thought. My brothers, some from Chloe's household have informed me that there are quarrels among you. What I mean is this. One of you says, 'I follow Paul.' Another, 'I follow Apollos.' Another, 'I follow Cephas.' Still another, 'I follow Christ.' Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? I am thankful that I did not baptize any of you except Crispus and Gaius. So no one can say that you were baptized into my name. Yes, I also baptized the household of Stephanas. Beyond that, I don't remember if I baptized anybody else. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with words of human wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power." These are Paul's words to the Corinthian church. And as is very clear to us in this passage, Paul is deeply concerned about divisions within the Corinthian church. Paul is concerned about divisions within the church in Corinth. We see this especially reflected in verses 10 to 12. He begins, "I appeal to you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another, so that there may be no divisions among you, and that you may be perfectly united in mind and thought." And I want to make sure we catch this part at the beginning of verse 10, because it's easy to just fly by and not pick up on what's happening here. "I appeal to you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." And these little words are very important because it tells us something vitally important about these divisions within the church in Corinth. These are not matters of salvation. These are not matters that define us as Christian or not. They are all brothers, no matter which side of the issue they are on. They all share the same Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ, Paul says, in spite of the issues that are there. This is not Paul talking about theological issues that determine whether you are a Christian or not. He has very different ideas about whether there should be divisions on those issues. You can read the book of Galatians. It's all about it. And he is firm that there should absolutely be a divide if we are talking about the gospel. No other gospel, Paul will talk about, but the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of our sins. This is not a division over the gospel. He says, "My brothers, some from Chloe's household have informed me that there are quarrels among you." What's likely happened is this, that Paul, at the time of writing the book to Corinthians, he is not there in Corinth, obviously. He helped plant that church. He spent a couple years there, and then he continued on, as Paul often did. At this point in time of writing the letter, he's actually in a place called Ephesus. It's across the ocean. Both of them are port towns, and he's likely wondering, well, I wonder how things are going in Corinth. And remember, he couldn't just load the stream of their service to see how it was going. He couldn't send them a text. He couldn't send them an email. He couldn't send them a fax. He couldn't call. He couldn't send a telegraph. He couldn't even write a letter. There were none of those things. There's only one way you're going to find out how things are going halfway across the ocean. What are you going to do? You're going to send somebody. Chloe, who was in their church, was likely someone that was heavily involved in shipping. Both Ephesus and Corinth were major port towns and cities. So they said, hey, listen, next time you're sending a shipment of cloth, of dye, of something over to Corinth, would you have someone check in on the church and see how they're doing and bring back a report? Well, they did. They brought back a report, and it's not good. It's not that they're getting along, that they're doing these great things for the gospel. Instead, the number one thing that sticks with them, they're fighting. He uses the word quarrel, and we don't use the word quarrel very much. That's like the type of word that's going to be used in like a really thick Englishy sounding, you know, book. And because of that, we typically think, oh, it just means like disagreement. No. Quarrel in the original Greek, it means a hot-blooded argument. These are people going at it within the church. They are 100% divided. Paul gives us some insight into these divisions. What I mean is this. One of you says, I follow Paul. Another, I follow Paulus. Another, I follow Cephas. So there are some people within the church, and they're saying, I follow Paul. I believe that we should do things the way Paul would want us to do. He's the one that helped plant this church after all. That's the way it should be done. Others were saying, no. We follow Apollos. After Paul planted the church, it's Apollos that came along and watered and nurtured us and helped us go. And you know, he was such a strong orator in the faith and proclaiming the gospel. We want to do things the way he would want us to do it. Still others say, No. You're all wrong. Don't you remember Cephas? By the way, as a reminder, that's Peter's name. This is Peter of, you know, the disciples. Don't you remember when Peter was with us? Oh, such a good, strong Jewish man, you know, and we should do things his way, and what he would want us to do is this. And they're all divided over how things should be done within the church. Again, these aren't gospel matters. This isn't about salvation. This is about how things happen in the church. And they are divided. And what's especially interesting to me as I study this text and work with it is that, you know, there's I follow Paul and Apollos and Peter, but nowhere in the rest of 1 Corinthians does Paul say, now, here's the Paul way, and it should be done like this. Or does he say, you know what, the Apollos way is wrong, and this is why. Or, don't listen to Peter, you shouldn't do it his way, you should do it my way, this is how it is. In fact, that never happens, which is kind of interesting. If Paul had a problem with what Peter was doing or saying, he would call him out on it. Again, see the book of Galatians, where he talks about calling Peter out to his face when he thought he was doing something wrong. He never addresses that throughout the book. It's almost as if, and this is what I believe is the case, that there's no actual disagreement between Paul and Apollos and Peter. This isn't a disagreement between those godly men. This is a church matter. And different factions within the church have each chosen someone that they're going to follow, someone that they think would do things their way, and they're saying, well, the Paul way is the way that I do it, or the Apollos way is the way that I do it, or the Peter way is the way I do it, and that's the way it's supposed to be. This isn't an actual disagreement between Paul and Apollos and Peter. It's a disagreement within the church. They're divided. Everybody has the way they want to do things, and because they're not getting that way, there are arguments, quarrels, hot-blooded division within the church in Corinth. And obviously, that is a deep concern for Paul. Not only because he cares about their Christian witness, but honestly, because he cares deeply about these people. He helped plant this church. He knows them. He loves them. And to see them divided like this, it breaks his heart. You know, I do wonder, Paul sent a messenger to kind of check on the church in Corinth and bring back a report. If God were to do the same thing with the church in America, if he were to, I know God already knows, just humor me though, you know, if God were to send a messenger out to see how the church in America is doing, you know, to visit our churches, to look at our social media, to see and listen in on how we're talking to one another and talking about one another, was checking out our group texts and things like that. If God were to send a messenger to do that for the church in America, what type of message do you think he would get back? What type of report would God get back about how the church is doing, especially over the past year? Would it go something like this? God, you're going to be so proud. You know, why are you guys laughing when I say you're going to be so proud? Oh, you're going to be so proud, God. You know, this year, this past year, I know it's been hard, but man, they have been a light in the darkness. They have come together. They have made glorifying and honoring you their first and greatest priority. They are living out the truth that you spoke through Philippians. Whatever is good and right and pure and noble and praiseworthy, think on such things. They are doing it. They are living it out. In the time when the world needs to see the light of your church shining, they are doing it. Is that the message that God would get about how the church in America is doing? Or would the message go something like this? What, God? Are they on fire? I mean, a dumpster fire. Listen, God, listen. God, no. Don't open your Facebook, God. Don't do it. You don't want to see what's there. The church, the body of Christ, should be a light in the darkness of this world. And if we are defined not by the gospel we serve, but by the things that divide us, something is wrong. And Paul understands that. And so Paul writes to the church in Corinth. And the way to move through this is the same now as it was 2,000 years ago. Paul challenges the Corinthian church to be united in the gospel of Christ. Paul challenges the Corinthian church to be united in the gospel of Christ. We see this in verses 12 to 17. Paul picks up, he says, another says, I follow Christ. And that's interesting because when we read the rest of the letter, Paul does address these different factions again. The Paul faction, the Apollos faction especially, the Peter faction. But never again does he mention the Christ faction. And in all likelihood, the reason for that is because that's the one faction that isn't there in Corinth. This is Paul's faction. This is what Paul stands beside. That's why he says, still another, or I don't know, guys, how about this crazy idea? How about I follow Christ? How about being united together in our love of Jesus Christ and our love for the gospel that saved us? Is Christ divided? Paul asks. And divided, it means to be torn into pieces and kind of doled out. He's basically saying this. Do you really believe that only those that do things Paul's way, that they're the only ones that really have Christ? Do you really believe that only the ones that follow the Apollos path, that those are the only ones that have Christ? Do you believe that those that follow Cephas, that they're the only ones that have Christ and nobody else that does things differently is really, truly a Christian? Is that what you believe? Paul says that's not how it works. But yet that's what they've made it. And if we're honest, some of that attitude very well may have snuck into our lives as well. And that attitude that says, well, if you're going to be a Christian, it has to be done this way. How could someone be a Christian and not vote Republican? How could someone be a Christian and think that you shouldn't get the vaccines? How could someone be a Christian and be in favor of wearing masks? We take these divisive issues and we decide that there is a definite Christian way of approaching it. And wouldn't you know, how crazy is this? The Christian way is the exact way that I do it, or the exact way that you do it. And it's always our way. But that, we've thought it through, we prayed about it, and our way is most definitely the Christian way. And anybody else that does it differently, maybe they're not really Christians. And it is dividing the church. And I'll just be honest with you. As a lot of you know, I'm the president of the Washington Ministerial Association. I have been for the entire pandemic. So I've pretty much talked to all the pastors in town over this past year. And wouldn't you know it, we talk about this type of stuff a lot. And I don't know a single pastor in town that hasn't had things like this pop up in their church, where they have people say to them, if you do it this way, I'm not coming to church. And then other people that say, if you don't do it this way, I'm not coming to church. And you've got churches that are dividing. You've got people that are leaving churches, that are going other places, that are saying, if it's not done my way, this isn't because of the gospel. This isn't because of anything related to the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of our sins. It's not being done my way. It's not happening the way I like it. And so I'm going somewhere else, or I'm taking my Bible and I'm going home. Was Donald Trump crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of the Pfizer, Moderna, and Johnson & Johnson vaccines? Were you? Because that's how we are acting. That is what's happening to the church, and it is pulling the church apart. Paul says, was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? And Paul's a good sport here. He doesn't use Cephas or Apollos because he knows if he did, they'd say, ah, see? Paul's the one that's right. Paul uses his name for both of these. And it's, honestly, it breaks my heart what I read in verse 14. Paul says, I am thankful that I did not baptize any of you except Crispus and Gaius, so no one can say that you were baptized in my name. Yes, I also baptized the household of Stephanas. Beyond that, I don't remember if I baptized anybody else. And this probably doesn't hit you the same way it hits me because I'm a pastor. Guess what? 2 weeks ago, I got to do baptisms. And I love baptism Sundays. It's probably one of my favorite things I get to do as a pastor. To get to come alongside a believer as they make that public proclamation of faith. And it's just, it's a beautiful, it's amazing thing. And yet, it is so bad in the church in Corinth that Paul would say, I'm glad I didn't baptize more of you. Because, you know what, if I had, you would have just taken it and you would have used it as fodder in this divisions. You would have said, well, I was baptized by Paul, so it's got to be my way or you got to do it this way. I know because I have that personal relationship with him. And Paul, it steals his joy and the faith to see the church divided in that way. Paul says in 17, Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with words of human wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of his power. He says, I am not here, I am not sent to get caught up in your divisions. He says, I am here to serve the kingdom of God. I am here to be passionate about the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of our sins. He says, that's what I'm passionate about. That's what I care about. That's what I have a heart for. Do we? Is that the greatest love in our lives? Is it? Or do we speak with more passion about our political affiliation than we do about our love for Christ? Will we fight harder and make a bigger stink and talk to more people about a business that has a mask policy that we don't like, whether they're for it or against it, it doesn't matter. Will we talk more about that than we ever will talking about the gospel to someone that doesn't know it? What is our passion? What is our love? Where are our hearts invested? Paul says, for me, it is the gospel. Is the same true for us? Because that is the only thing that has the power to unite us together. As Paul said in verse 10, he says, I implore that all of you agree with one another so that there would be no divisions among you, that you may be perfectly united in mind and thought. And when he says this, I want to be clear, he doesn't say that nobody can be an individual, that nobody can think things differently than one another, that for all of us to be united together in thought and mind as Christians, that everybody has to think that Lindy's is the best place to go get groceries, that everybody has to think that pineapple pizza is valid, that everybody has to think that the one true baseball team that we should support is, of course, the White Sox. Again, no, he's not saying that. He's not saying that we have to give up our individuality, even those preferences in different things, and not the small ones, and not in the bigger things, whether it's political or what you think about governmental oversight in our state, especially after the past year, what you think about mask policy or vaccines. He's not saying that you can't hold those different ideas and positions. What he's saying is that there should be something greater in your life. There should be a deeper love. And that deep, passionate love for the kingdom of God should unite us so tightly that nothing else can tear us apart. But for that to happen, we have to have that deep and abiding love for the gospel. That has to be where our hearts are first and foremost. And when we have that love, that will unite us together in spite of whatever differences we may have. You might think about it this way. This past year, again, Karen and I, she's reading through 100 books. She says, I finished 27. I say, and she says, I finished reading it. And I say, well, did you read it or did you listen to it? Because the English language means something, and I didn't drink a steak for dinner last night. I think I ate it. You know, we got to make sure these words mean something here. And she would roll her eyes and just keep going. And after that happened, like 27 times, it was as if God kind of tapped on my heart and said, hey, Adam, hey, Pastor Adam, listen, you do know, I mean, you're kind of teasing, but you're also kind of being a jerk about this, right? Because like every time she brings it up, you bring it up, you do realize that, right? And it was as if God said to me in my heart, he said, which do you love more? Do you love winning an argument about the semantics of the English language, or do you love your wife? And of course, the answer was clear. I love Kara. I love Kara way more than winning an argument, way more than a tiny little thing like that. So you know what I did? I just let it go. Like, and we're capable of doing that. If we love something more, we are absolutely capable of doing that. And so, guess what? When Kara said, hey, I finished reading a book, you know what I started to say? Great. I'm happy for you. I'm proud of you. What did you think? What did you like? What's next? How many is that? And you know what? That little change made a huge difference for both of us. But for me to do that, to make that change, I had to decide what I loved the most. For us to move beyond that division, I had to decide what I loved the most. The same is true for us as a church. If we want to move forward together as we come out of this, we've got to decide, what do we love the most? Where are we invested? What do we care about more than anything else? And my hope and my prayer for our church, for the church in Washington and the church in the United States as a whole, is that we will love the gospel of Jesus Christ and that we will love God more than anything else. Because when we love Him in that way, nothing can divide us. Will you bow with me in prayer? Gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you and we confess, I confess, Lord, listen, we are an independent Bible church. We put the independent in independent Bible. We all have things we believe strongly and we're passionate about, Lord. And that's part of how you made us. But we do ask your forgiveness, Lord, that in the past year, I'm sure for all of us at different times, our passion for these issues, for these ideas, it's been something that we've loved perhaps even more than you. We've allowed it to divide us, to darken our hearts, Lord. And we ask your forgiveness. And more importantly, Lord, we ask that through your Spirit, you would light a fire inside each of every one of us. Not about these issues, Lord, but about your kingdom. May we be in love with you. May we serve you. May what defines us, Lord, be your work on the cross, your Spirit in our hearts, and our desire to be a witness for you and your kingdom. We pray these things in the name of your Son and by the power of your Spirit. Amen. Let me leave you this morning with the word of the Lord from Numbers 6, 24 to 26. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace as you go forth this week. You are dismissed.